Broadcasting from London, Ontario, Canada to the rest of the world, this is Talking Combat with Chris Toplak.
I'm back. Hope you didn't miss me too much. Yet another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Sick and on the mend, feeling a lot better this time around as opposed to last Sunday. If you heard me, you would have fully understood as to why I made that last minute call to put the kibosh on this show. Give you a quick sample. This is what it would have sounded like last Sunday. This is... God. Yet another edition of, Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. It was awful. It was awful. Took an entire week pumping myself full of medication to see any progress whatsoever. I never get sick, but when I do, it tends to linger for weeks, so I'm in it for the long haul. But nevertheless, I'm excited. I'm back to talk about some UFC-related news, and there's plenty to go around. And before I get to that, I should note, today marks the two-year anniversary that I married my beautiful wife, Michelle. We have a very loving and happy home. Plenty of laughter. I'll raise my hand and say I provide much of that. Something I'm very proud of. But we've had a great ride together. And it's going to last for the rest of our lives. So I'm very grateful to have her in mine. And I'm sure she's very grateful to have me in hers, even though I am a handful, as you can imagine. On the agenda today, Ronda Rousey facing a new opponent. It is not Miesha Tate. Lawler versus Khanna gets the stadium treatment. Give you my thoughts on stadium shows as well. Wyman versus Jones. Is this a possibility? And Brock Lesnar discusses the UFC. Let's get to the weekly recap.
Miss something? We've got you covered. This is your weekly recap.
Felt like we had more fight announcements in the past week than we've had in the past couple of months. Before we get to that, though, I hope you've had a chance to check out missionbelt.com. They're introducing new products, seems like on a weekly basis. So go over there, check out their full collection at missionbelt.com. See if there's something that appeals to you. Can even get some free shipping on orders over $50 that applies to those in the U.S. Hopefully worldwide at some point would be spectacular. Follow them on Twitter, follow them on Instagram, and like them on Facebook. So let's get to some of these fight announcements. I want to go in chronological order, but of course there's a couple big ones I simply cannot ignore. Dana White announced on Twitter that it will be Ronda Rousey, the women's bantamweight champion, defending her crown against Holly Holm, taking place at UFC 195 in Sin City, Las Vegas. Was not expecting that. Apparently Miesha was completely left in the dark and made this discovery when we did as well. I probably found out before Miesha Tate, because when Dana White tweeted this, I happened to be on Twitter. And literally when I saw my timeline, it said 15 seconds ago. So I'm sitting here telling you I found out before Miesha Tate that it was Holly Holm getting the nod against Ronda Rousey. That is sad. Quite unprofessional on the UFC's part to allow that to occur. You should basically notify the fighter as soon as possible. I mean, justify it too. Miesha, yes, I know that you won four in a row. But the past two fights against Ronda were not super, super competitive, or whatever they're going to say to her. We went with somebody else. They went with fresh blood, basically. Is Holly Holm ready? God, no. A multi-time champion kickboxer. But her ground game, completely unproven against one of the best submission specialists in the game today. Not just women's specialists, all genders. Outstanding. So Holly Holm's still very untested. Are you sure you want to have that reputation going in there against somebody who not only is tried, tested, and true, but a flat-out killer? I mean, she opened as a 12-1 favorite over Holly Holm, rightfully so. I'm surprised it wasn't a 20-1 favorite. Dana White justified this by saying, we were talking about Misha Tate from the start. Then as we started sitting around, we were saying everyone has seen the Misha fight already. So why call Jessica Eye and Misha Tate a number one contenders fight then? That's my only issue with this. It's not so much Holly Holm getting the nod. It's having that false claim that somebody is a number one contender when you know damn well they're not. When they say we sat and had this conversation, they had this weeks ago, by the way. Also worth noting, if it wasn't Tate receiving this shot, I would have rather seen Amanda Nunes get the nod over Holly Holm. I think she's more battle ready for Ronda Rousey, personally. A fight I'm even more excited for, Joanna Jędrzejczyk. No offense to Ronda Rousey, she's a beast, she's a killer, but Joanna Jędrzejczyk, quickly becoming one of my favorite fighters, her combinations, her speed. She's vicious. I love her. She reminds me almost of a strawweight Chuck Liddell taking on Claudia Gelda. It's a rematch. Joanna got by her just barely via split decision. It's going to be the co-main event under Ronda and Holly at UFC 195. That was reported by Bleacher Report. Unreal. Already a stacked card. We have some big cards to look forward to in the next 6 months. Now, we already know that UFC 193 is headlined by Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condon. They are now officially getting the stadium treatment in Melbourne, Australia. In fact, the UFC is hoping to shatter their previous record of 55,000 fans in Toronto. I was there. I'll touch on that in a second. They're hoping for 70,000 Aussie fans in attendance for this show. Mark Hunt versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva 2 set to take place. The first one was changed to a no contest after a drug failure with Bigfoot Silva. Also, Michael the Count Bisping taking on Robert Whittaker. For those unaware of who he is, go look him up on Wikipedia. I had a lot of those questions. That's added to the show as well. So hopefully they're going to stack this further, because if they want to draw 70,000 fans, they're going to need to do a little bit better than that. So here are my thoughts on a stadium show. If you're a new listener, I've stated this on Talking Combat, even my previous podcast, Ultimate Fighting Weekly. So I'll lay this out for you quickly. I went to the Rogers Center for UFC 129. It was headlined by George St. Pierre and Jake Shields. I paid top dollar. I'm not even going to give you an amount. It's kind of embarrassing. Went there with a good buddy of mine at the time. So we split the hotel. We went down there. I think we even took a bus as well, too, if I do recall. So we went down there, and it cost us oodles and oodles of money. We had the Fan Expo. Overall, it was a great experience. We went down there, I believe, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, came back Sunday. Don't regret it. But at the same time, we paid all this money for great seats. We ended up watching the Jumbotrons. It was a terrible view of the octagon. I'm sitting here going, I've probably spent more money this weekend than I would have on a trip to Vegas. And our seats should be good on paper, but our view of the octagon was terrible. I don't think the UFC is built for stadium shows. That's just me. Now, some could, of course, throw it in there because they know I'm a wrestling fan. Well, what about WrestleMania? Yeah, but they go to the nines, right? They've been doing this for 30-something years now. The UFC, this is their second show. So hopefully they can plan this well so every seat is a good seat, and everybody has a good view, and et cetera, et cetera. It's just a small octagon, right? So Not huge on stadium shows, but I'm really looking forward to Robbie Lawler versus Carlos Condit. Violence defined, my friends. Liz Carmouche is injured, so UFC 191, Raquel Pennington, she needs a new opponent. Well, up steps Jessica Andrade. There you go. The two set to face off again. They originally squared off at UFC 171. Jessica won that via split decision. Gegard Mousasi versus Uriah Hall set for UFC Fight Night. Barnett versus Nelson in Japan this September. A big step up in competition for Uriah Hall. Is he ready? Most importantly, is he mentally ready for Gegard Mousasi? It's a big question. UFC 192 adds Joseph Benavidez and Ali Begotinov. Also, Rose finally returning. She's the better half of Pat Barry. She's taken on Angela Hill. I'm looking forward to that one. Gleison Tibau versus Abel Trujillo. Glover Teixeira versus Patrick Cummins. And Fabio Maldonado versus Tom Lawler. All added to UFC Fight Night 77. That card, of course, headlined by Dan Henderson versus Vitor Belfort 3. When Dan Henderson announced on Twitter it was going to be a big rematch, I figured somebody else other than Vitor, but I'll still tune in for it. CB Dalloway versus Nate Marquardt, also added to UFC on Fox this November. Same with Josh Saman, his opponent, Tamden McElroy as well. So, some great matchups already being added to the UFC on Fox card. Of course, that is being headlined by the reigning defending lightweight champion of the world, Sanjo's taking on Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Will Cerrone finally get his chance in the spotlight? Will he be wearing gold around his waist? We will find out. Flyweights, Henry Cejudo. Jussier Formiga set to square off on November the 21st in Mexico. That is during the Tough Latin America 2 finale. Cejudo also gets a step up in competition, rightfully so. Let's see what he can do. Yoel Romero and Jacare booked for UFC 194 in December. If that fight's a go, knock on wood, they both stay healthy. That could be a potential number one contender scrap. You never know. Benson Henderson versus Thiago Alves is rumored as the main event of UFC's South Korean debut. It's a big fight in the welterweight division. Again, Benson Henderson stepping up in weight. So kudos to him. I mean, he's got a pretty good frame to survive in welterweight and also thrive there as well. Wyman versus Jones. Is this a possibility? Would be a super fight. A legitimate super fight, too. During a recent appearance on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour, the middleweight champ, Chris Wyman, revealed an opponent he must face before he walks away from the sport. Of course, it was John Jones. I know for a fact I'm not leaving this sport without fighting John Jones. Unless he's not coming back at all. But if he's there and I'm here, people are going to want to see it happen, and I want to see it happen. Sign me up for that fight. Anthony Johnson is being investigated. What did he do this time? Well, basically, he's under investigation after a small confrontation between him and a woman doing yoga at the gym. Sounds ridiculous, but there's a giant, bitter Facebook post you could check out at Anthony Johnson's account. So in this post on Facebook, Johnson essentially verbally ran her down, but he has since apologized for his remarks. In response to this, the UFC posted the following statement on their website. UFC is aware of the situation involving Anthony Johnson. We take these matters seriously and have commenced a formal investigation by a third-party law firm. We will act accordingly once we gather more information. So why is this such a big deal? How did this escalate so quickly? In the words of Ron Burgundy. Well, Johnson pleaded no guilty, essentially. This was back to domestic violence charges in 2010. And also recently he was suspended for further allegations of abuse. So with that history, yes, this should be taken seriously.
Agree or disagree?
Former UFC heavyweight champion Brock Lesnar has been making the rounds to promote SummerSlam, and specifically his match against The Undertaker taking place tonight only on the WWE Network. Quite the predicament I'm in. Because this is the same night, after all, the UFC Saskatoon is taking place. So what do? I'm watching both simultaneously. I'm super stoked for SummerSlam because they're building this almost as the sequel to WrestleMania. Pulling off all the stops here. But that being said, UFC Saskatoon has put together quite an intriguing card, so I don't want to miss a second of either event. Now, there were many notable quotes from the UFC's all-time biggest box office draw. In one, Brock claimed Vince McMahon was a better promoter than Dana White. Now, history lends itself to Vince McMahon. He's a proven commodity, so I'm likely going to give Vince McMahon the upper hand there. Now, in the second, it was about Ronda Rousey. I think she's a super athlete in a weak division. I really do. She is a man among women in the women's division. I take my hat off to her. Now, do you agree or disagree with Brock Lesnar's comments about Vince and Dana, along with his assessment of Ronda Rousey? Let me know all over social media.
Predictions you can take to the bank.
UFC Saskatoon takes place this evening from the SaskTel Center in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. We're in the prairies, baby. I'll quickly recap my co-main and main event predictions that I posted in a blog found on ChrisTomplak.com. Last Sunday, of course, I was sick. I'm on the mend. It wasn't so much talking combat as it was blogging combat. So I'm not going to read this word for word, of course, as well, too. I don't go into this show with a script, but I want to recap what I talked about very quickly. So, in the co-main event, Neil Magny versus Eric Silva. You may recall Neil Magny coming off a recent lopsided loss that came via submission to Damian Maia. Very quick turnaround for him. Probably wants to erase that memory, get in there and rebound in a big way. So, prior to that, let's recall he was on a 7-fight winning streak with the hopes of jumping into the top 10 rankings. I think he was actually just there. Now, Eric Silva, this man is always dangerous, always explosive, especially in the first round, one of the most exciting fighters in the welterweight division. He's hoping to extend his winning streak to 3. He often trades wins with losses, so he needs some momentum. And this is a shot at some top opposition. It all starts with Neil Magny. So I'll say this, Neil Magny has completely evolved as a fighter, especially from the man that we saw on The Ultimate Fighter. I believe he's very well-rounded, but at the same time, I do believe Silva's ultra-aggressive tactics will pay off. I see him pulling off the TKO or submission victory. I'm going to lean towards the first, Eric Silva via TKO. Headlining the card in the featherweight division, Max Holloway versus Charles Oliveira. I've said this before, I'll say it again. A victory for either man will propel them into a potential top contender matchup, perhaps, with Frankie Edgar. That would make a lot of sense. So let's recall that Max Holloway lost to Conor McGregor. That was almost 2 years ago, and that was the last loss on his record. Since then, he has compiled a 6-0 record, 5 of them being stoppages. And guess what? He's only 23 years old. Sky is the limit for this kid. And this is, in my opinion, the best version we have seen to date. Now, one of the big differences between Max Holloway 2 years ago and Max Holloway today is the power that he packs behind his punches. I'm sure you've been noticing he's been ending a lot of fights via TKO. He's rarely seen before, now a main focal point. Now, Charles Oliveira, on the ground, absolutely deadly. He's won 4 in a row, 3 of them, earning him performance of the night bonuses for those spectacular submission stoppages. So I've said it before and I'll say it again. If this fight is contested on the feet, I give it to Max Holloway. If it goes to the ground, without a doubt, Charles Oliveira will choke him out. It's his wheelhouse after all. But that being said, I do believe this fight will be contested on the feet. It will not go the distance. And I'm leaning towards Max Holloway via TKO, which would be huge for him. As I mentioned, put him in a top contender fight and perhaps even a potential rematch with Conor McGregor. It would be intriguing to see how that plays out. So that will do it for another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. I appreciate your patience from last week. I rarely miss an episode, so I guess I pat myself on the back, right? But nevertheless, I should also mention two, three times this week. One was from Thomas on Twitter, Bearded Warrior on Twitter, and also Brian on Google Plus. Each of them told me, very humbling by the way, this is the only podcast I tune into. So for that, I am truly grateful. And until next Sunday, happy trails to you until we meet again.
This concludes another edition of Talking Combat with Chris Toplak. Follow him on Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus, or at ChrisToplak.com. And visit MMASuckup.com for a new show every Sunday.